Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 10th, 338th day of the new year. Scheduled, we seem to have had a snafu. So rather than hearing from Maggie Fleming this morning or someone from the district attorney's office, we're going to run a best of program for this morning. Oh, wait a sec. Hark! Who do I see coming through the lobby? Now, most of us, when we think of a district attorney, we're thinking of someone who's overweight, someone who moves slow, someone who, laborious might be how you describe them. Not bouncing through a lobby, panic.
Good morning, Brian. I'm here.
Hi, Maggie.
I did have to sprint those last few.
Do you drive a hybrid?
No, I don't.
Because I was standing out in the parking lot listening. That's one of my little tricks, is to try to listen to see if there's a car coming down the road. And I'm sure you weren't coasting.
No, I was not.
Well, good day to you, lady.
Good day. Glad I made it.
Yeah, you're one of at least two or three.
And I hadn't noticed the crutch until I just sat down.
I threw out my back this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm almost there. But I just can't sit in the chair for 30 minutes or 35 minutes. So.
Well, I'm sorry.
Last day of leaning. I'm going to take a shot tomorrow. If nothing else, Woods will give me a hard time. He'll be able to help get me out of the chair, being a fire guy.
Right. That's right.
So what do you want to talk about this morning?
Why don't we talk about sort of the status of some of the cases in the office and where we're going and more Measure Z good news. And
it seems like you're processing through some of the big nasty uglies, so
yes.
I'm sure we're going to have lots to talk about when we come back.
It's
8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, some of the different cases that are working their way through, would it be fair to say that drugs was common through all?
I'm trying now to think of all of them. Definitely some of them. We see, I think, drugs related, obviously, predominantly in a lot of our certain types of crimes. They are sometimes associated with murder cases, definitely with the vehicular manslaughter cases. Many of them are alcohol and drug related. But some of them, unfortunately, are just violence. They're just people.
That's what I'm saying, the violent ones. Not a drunk driver, I mean, somebody loses a life, okay. Whether it's drugs or alcohol, flip a coin on those. But the ones that are attacking somebody, the more aggressive ones, at least what I have as an impression, is that it's all the drug guys. Now, maybe druggie on druggie, or maybe druggie on somebody else, but there seems to be that commonality.
There is. I won't say it's universal. I would say it is a certain percentage, but we've always had, those individuals who are just basically stone cold killers, and sober or under the influence, that's who they are. And we do see a number of murders related to those types of people. So it's an interesting problem in our community. We do see a certain percentage of violence related to either because someone believes they've had a drug ripoff, or because someone's there out of an issue associated with their drugs. But then there's also going to be a number of our cases that simply are the type of person who goes from violent crime to violent crime and then ultimately kills someone, not drug related and not under the influence.
Chief Mills, when he was on Monday, had come back from a state association meeting of, I think it was the chiefs of police in California. And it shared that, you know, 47 this, 47 that, AB this, AB that. Okay. It seems like 47 has become the new whipping boy for 13. And 13, we haven't heard about, you know, how Proposition 13 has screwed things up in the last couple of years since 47 passed. Obviously, it's adding to this somehow. What do you think the impacts have been to Humboldt and in our region of the passage of 47? Is that exacerbating this ugly situation?
Yes. One of the problems that we see with Prop 47, with the reduction of so many crimes to misdemeanors, is a person who commits a misdemeanor and is found guilty isn't on felony probation, obviously. And with felony probation, you had a probation officer. You had someone who basically checked in with you, made sure you were following through with programs, made sure you were, you know, they had the ability to search the individual, make sure they weren't involved in ongoing drug activity or crime activity. Without that, what I see is a person picks up many more cases. And so we're trying harder, you know, the courts and everyone to try to address that, because otherwise you can have someone who'll have seven or eight cases very quickly, you know, within a year. And
you're seeing a bad guy.
A bad guy.
Being charged with six or seven.
Exactly. Yeah. The same person, just, you know, he does 30 days, he gets out, he commits another crime. So he's on probation for one, now he's committed another one, now he has two. And it's sort of an ongoing problem. My concern, you know, initially with Prop 47, I understand sort of trying to address certain drug crimes as misdemeanors, get them into treatment. But with some of the other crimes that were reduced, I just simply didn't agree with, you know, obviously one of them being the grand theft of a firearm. Or grand theft, but if it's a firearm, treating it as a misdemeanor. Those are the kind of people, if you're out stealing a gun, you've got some real serious issues, and that should have never been reduced to a misdemeanor. I know legislators are trying to address that and perhaps consider changes in the law, but currently we're stuck with what was passed, and it's definitely having repercussions in our community.
Do the judges have enough sentencing options?
Yes, they do.
For those who are mentally unstable, there's options for sentencing or incarceration to get those folks off the street?
Yes. Again, it's a lot easier when it's a felony because of the level of supervision and then the level of options. And that's unfortunate. But when you see, you know, some of the mental health folks have really pretty serious vandalism issues. It's just they're not really, you know, functioning at a level to understand what they're doing. And those are the types of cases that we really have to sort of watch for, because the sooner we can help them get into the treatment programs, the less time they spend in the jail, which is really not conducive to them getting better.
There are that many that are that far out that don't understand what is going on?
Yes. And
so how do they function?
Well, they don't.
I mean,
they don't
public
function
guardians
well.
And things like that, caseworkers, people like that that are supposed to be paying attention.
Right. If those people are spotted and able to be put on those caseloads, but you literally cannot be able to take care of yourself. So, for example, there are a certain percentage who do want to be, who don't want to be housed, and so one of the issues is, you know, is your mental process such that you can't care for yourself? Well, you also have to be aware of the fact that some people have the right to lead a different kind of lifestyle than what most of us would consider good for ourselves.
Have we gone too far?
In protecting that option? I think when we start thinking of choices people make and their liberties, we can't ever undercut that. I think that's just so important to who we are and what we are as a society.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County's District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop this morning presented by CDH Painting and Redeck. Maggie, when you came in, you said there were a number of cases that have kind of progressed that you've had resolution on. Why don't you bring everybody up to speed?
So we've, as everyone knows in the community, we had, you know, unfortunately a record high number of murders last year. And so far in 2015, the same sort of problem. We had a number of homicide cases that were getting relatively old, and my goal was to sort of see if we could try those cases and in essence move to the more current homicides, and we've done that. We've tried 6 murder cases this year, 5 reached verdict, 1 hung, and we're preparing to retry that in the next couple weeks. And so we now are looking at just the 2014-2015 homicides to try, which is a good place to be. One of the issues that we talked about last time with the Warren case was whether or not we could seat a jury, and we were able to do that. It took, obviously, about 3 weeks. It was a long process, but we were able to do that, which was very good. And again, that was the case where you and I talked about Mendocino County District Attorney Dave Eister was nice enough to loan me his assistant, who I know from, we both worked in Contra Costa County DA's office together years ago, and he's an excellent prosecutor, and he came and tried that case. And that was really very helpful both to the office and then to the community, and we just, that result just came in last week, and that was very good. And I really appreciate that Dave Eister was willing to reach out and help us in that way.
So did he come up because nobody wanted to handle the case? Nobody could? You had too many cases in front of you of other sorts? I mean, why reach outside, even to a buddy?
Well, we did. We had, over the years, tremendous turnover in the DA's office. So it's a very young office, very inexperienced prosecutors, and they already had more than enough, each of them, to do. So as I was looking over all of the cases, that was it's going to be a very long case. It was a very difficult case in certain aspects. And so it was, you know, I really appreciated being able to reach out and have an experienced prosecutor step in and handle that one. It was one less for someone in the office to even attempt. So
now with all these other cases, I would imagine your experience curve is coming up rather quickly.
It is. It is. And it's been great. Those in the office who have been really working hard and under a very heavy caseload have stepped up. As I say, we've had a number of cases tried, and those are the attorneys in the office working so hard to get those done. We've had 3 go to verdict just in the last month, 2 of them being LWOP, life without possibility of parole cases, and then one, it's going to be a 40-to-life sentence. So it's a number of cases being tried in a relatively short period. And I also really appreciate the court. The judges have been working really hard. We've been discussing for some time because of the backlog. They're running the murder cases all day, and that's really helped because we're getting those done, you know, in a much shorter span of time. The presiding judge, Judge Heinrichs, has also reached out to the state to have more visiting judges come in at the start of the year to help us with our backlog and to really, you know, we've got to move these cases.
Do we have enough courtroom space?
They're looking at adding court space, perhaps where the jury room is on the ground floor,
downstairs,
and then also
yeah.
The law library. Those are 2 really large spaces. And then also we have, I know we've talked about it before, an early resolution court that's in a full-size courtroom that might move to a smaller courtroom. So we could use that for trials, yes.
Yeah. I'm just thinking with the bailiffs having to run all over the place and security all over the place.
Yes.
Particularly as you have the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
But maybe you put the misdemeanors downstairs so you don't have to be so concerned. I'm laughing. A lot of times I'll talk to folks about traffic management. You know, how do you move customers through a store, through a parking lot? You've probably got the same thing with cases.
Yes.
How do you move cases through
right.
the system without having these huge backlogs but still being able to address in a timely fashion or somewhat timely fashion some of these various trials that are pending.
Right. So one of the areas that what I've done to try to help with that is I do the trial assignment every Friday morning. So I'm there to see which trials are going to get out to a jury. And what's nice about, and that's how it was always done in Contra Costa, and what I appreciated about that is, you know, in essence, I can see the whole board. I understand that case number one, case number two may not be something that's so significant we need to get it to a jury, but maybe it's the fourth case on the list that I have to get going, I have to get out, either because maybe we're about to have witness problems or maybe it's just gotten too old. And so my hope is to try that one. And then what I've also done, and the judges have been great about allowing this, is we keep a couple basically on deck. They're trailing because invariably when you get to a courtroom, sometimes one, sometimes two will say, okay, I'd like to plead now. And by having those other cases waiting, we can then slide them in on Tuesday or Wednesday and get them going. And we're able to get more cases out each week that way.
Yeah, how does that work for the jurors that have been selected?
So they don't know which case they're going to be selected on. So they're basically sitting in a pool waiting. And so on Monday morning when perhaps the drunk driving case goes into department, you know, one, and then he says, okay, Your Honor, I'd like to plea at this point in time, and he gets sentenced, then another case is sent to that department. And maybe this one's an assault with a deadly weapon. So when the jury is waiting, you know, they're available for whatever trial is a go.
With a time length of a certain...
Well, they're told then.
Expectation.
Exactly. They're told then. So sometimes jurors don't know. You know, the DUI they may have been called on was only going to be two, or that they're sitting waiting for may have only been, you know, 3 or 4 days. And now that case resolves, and now a murder case is going to start there. And so now they're being told, your trial may take 6 weeks. You know, so, and then they fill out the form that says I can or can't serve.
What do you mean, my trial, baby?
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Maggie Flynn.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Measure Z. I know that's now your favorite letter in the alphabet.
It is.
How we're coming up on the 6-month mark. Mike Downey had commented that he's been able to hire up some folks. I know you had hopes for being able to hire up and do some stuff. Are you there yet?
We are almost there. We just had our last posting of positions in the last couple of weeks. I'm hiring this week. And by the end of next week, I'll have filled all the attorney positions. I've hired 9 attorneys this year, which is a huge, I mean, that's basically a law office.
Now, your hires are going to stick, right?
Yes. And then we are still working on filling the clerical positions and then also the victim advocate positions over at our victim witness program. So it's really been an amazing, you know, process, and I'm just really delighted with getting to the full staffing numbers because it's made a huge difference to how we're handling cases and how people are able to work with victims and witnesses. Having more time to actually deal with each case, it's had a great impact.
Now, with sales guys, they say 18 months. With other professions, I know it takes out to 5 years before you really, you start to hit stride and you're not thinking you're doing. How long does it take an ADA to get to the point where, okay, give me whatever you need to, I'm ready for it?
That takes years. What's interesting is you bring an attorney in and within, I'm going to say about 3 to 6 months, they get really comfortable, you know, handling the misdemeanors. And then that's right about the time that you say, okay, now you got to step up because we're going to ask you to do this. So at each part of the process, you know, it's sort of a huge jump, and it's a very steep learning curve. In most, you know, DA's offices, you'd see number of years because with the office having sort of the layers of attorneys, it takes quite a bit of time. In a smaller office like this, maybe 3 to 5 years, the attorney can handle virtually anything.
So you'll be chomping at the bit term two.
Yes.
Everything will be humming.
That's right.
Hopefully the case load will go down a little bit.
That's what I'm hoping. And definitely I think the way we've been working hard on the really serious violent cases, including the murder cases, I have hopes that in the next couple of years we'll really see a change in our caseload with those.
Do the bad guys know about the district attorney's office in each community? If you're kicking butt and taking names, would there be a segment who would say, you know, not Humboldt County now, I'll go somewhere else?
I think it's something that's discussed at the jail, because that's what I've always heard from both correctional officers and, you know, from investigators who go into the jail to meet with people. So I imagine it's something that's talked at least amongst the jail population. But I don't know.
Well, that's kind of your crowd.
Right. That is the segment of society that I most deal with, yes.
Yeah, may not be your fan club, but it's your crowd. What do the holidays mean for you guys? Do you keep running through? Are you just going to have 2 4-day work weeks?
That's correct. We run, and sometimes if you're in trial, judges will say, you know, because of jurors, let's go ahead and take Christmas Eve off, or let's take New Year's Eve off. But otherwise, no, we run straight through.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to bring another one or two of those to conclusion before the end of the year, and you can look back and think stuff got done this year.
Right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, and have great holidays.
Yeah. Enjoy your conversations with others today.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.